Glory to God. That is good. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The front row loves the Lord here. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm just kidding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, we're right heavy today. Well, stage right. Oh, there we go. We evened it a little bit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to Tuesday night. Glory to God. Well, I'm just going to get into it because I think I have a lot to preach, so we'll go get in all that God has for us. Amen. Tonight's message, I'm not sure if it fits, but I think it does. We'll see how it works out. Praise the Lord, because the message came to me after the title did, so praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the message is, can God intercept your day? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can God intercept your day? And we're going to be talking about how God deals with us and how God gets to us, praise the Lord. It will blend with the message. Amen. We'll make sure of that. Glory to God. But, tonight we're going to be talking about the office of the pastor. Or I'm going to be talking about it. You're going to be listening. Praise God. But we're not talking about the person of the pastor. And I want to emphasize that. My wife this weekend was preaching on... she was preaching mostly on the prophet, getting us prepared. But we're going to be talking about the office of the pastor, but we're going to be talking about what God does through that office. Amen. And so what he does, and a lot of things that we're going to bring up aren't just what come through the office of the pastor. They also come through the other ministry gifts. Praise the Lord. But there seemed to be a focus in my spirit on the pastoral office and what we receive from that and why and how it connects to our lives, even in our daily lives and the things. You know, sometimes I know that there's things that happen, or sometimes we do things and sometimes it doesn't make sense, praise the Lord. But we're just following God. We endeavor to follow the Lord. And my goal here tonight is to bring us to a place where we understand that what God does through the pulpit primarily, or the one who stands in the pulpit, is to bring us into that place where we're of blessing and all the things that he has for us. Amen. So, but there's some things I want you to understand. There's a bunch I wrote down, actually, which is unusual for me, but this stuff all came to me and I really wanted to share it. But the first thing I wanted to say is the office that I stand in, the office of the pastor, doesn't just bless you, it blesses me too. Praise the Lord. There's things that I get out of it too. As I tap into that gift and as I endeavor to utilize that gift, amen, I get revelation out of it too. And oftentimes what you're receiving is my revelation, praise the Lord, but it's revelation to me too. It's not like, oh, I just was trained in all this stuff and I happen to just know all this stuff and this is time when I should bring that out. It's not it at all. A lot of times that God uses, you know, he uses our experience, but he gives us revelation and connects it with the things that we already knew, praise the Lord, and gives us further revelation. So even if you know something about it, praise the Lord, you can still know more about it. And that's a wonderful thing about this walk with God, is that for me as well, as I go further and further and further in the ministry, I learn more and more and more about the ministry, praise the Lord. And it gives my life peace, and it brings peace to our lives, and not just like yours as ours, but my family's or my life, you know. And I've seen increase in my life because of the revelation that God has given me and things like that. So I hope you understand what my heart is behind it, praise the Lord. And this is what we have to understand about it, that the gift is an add-on, praise the Lord. It's not something that I was born with. Any pastor wasn't born with it, amen. Now they can have the call, they can be born with a call, but that doesn't mean that the office that they're currently walking in, that office, amen. And so to walk in that office, it's an add-on to the person or the personality, amen. Just like, Pastor Michael was originally, he was a pastor, and then he had apostle and prophet added on to him, amen. And so we see these things can be added on to people, amen. And so God kind of gave me this weekend when my wife was teaching, the Lord kind of gave me this understanding of it like this. Like there's, you know, it's like kind of like cars. You know, there's many different kinds of cars out there, isn't there? You know, most of us have a daily driver that we go out, we get in, we you know, tour around the country on, praise the Lord. We just go here to here, there. We go to, you know, we go grocery shopping or whatever. But, you know, I forgive me, brother, for using you again, but we all know Denny has a tow truck. Amen. I think I preached on that recently, too. But not all of us own a tow truck. And why don't all of us own a tow truck? Because we don't all always need a tow truck. Amen. But we know that somebody does. Amen. Just like I also have a pickup truck. Not everybody needs a pickup truck, although they're a lot more common today. But there was a time when just certain people would have them, maybe farmers or maybe carpenters or something like that, you know. Not everybody has a delivery van or a UPS truck, praise the Lord. You know, Ted back there, he's got a, for work, he's got a big bucket truck. You know, sometimes we'll see it parked out here, praise the Lord. But we don't all need a bucket truck. But when you need a bucket truck, you're glad you got one. Amen. Or when you need a tow truck, you're glad you got one. You're glad you know someone has got one. Amen. Or when you need a pickup truck, praise God. If you got to move something, one thing you'll learn if you know if you own a pickup truck is that you become everybody's best friend on moving day. Amen. But we understand that there's needs for different kinds of vehicles. Amen. And so that's the kind of the same thing with pastor. It's an add-on. It's something extra. Not everybody's going to go out and invest in, you know, obviously these other vehicles will cost more money. Not everybody's going to go out and invest in all those vehicles because they don't need them all the time, you know. Sometimes I question what I have just in general and do I need that much because, it just becomes more to maintain and stuff. So we understand that, praise the Lord. But the Lord gave me kind of that illustration and I wanted to share it with you. But this is what we have to understand is in conjunction with how these gifts work and everything is we've got to learn to be flexible people. Christians sometimes aren't very flexible. Actually, it's not just Christians, it's the people of God. It's probably people in general, in all honesty. But we exemplify it, amen. We show it more, praise the Lord. But, we don't want to be rigid people. And what I mean by rigid people is when we come to our beliefs, yes, we stick to our beliefs. We stick to the things that we know are true and stuff like that. And we don't vary in those things. But rigidity in the sense that God can't move us into something else. You know, if we have church a certain way all the time, and then all of a sudden God gives us revelation that we need to do it differently, that we need to do it differently. We don't want to get to that place where we're just stale, amen. Stale Christians are what religious Christians are, amen. That's a lot of, you see that sometimes, and you see it in all kinds of denominational churches. We're denominational too. I mean, it just doesn't matter. Even the non-denominational have become denominational. So it doesn't matter what sect you are or what you call yourself, we all tend to get rigid. You know, I think about a tree oftentimes, you know, you take like a tree that's real rigid, what happens when the wind blows really hard? Cracks and it falls over. And it's not good for much. You know, but the trees that can sway with the wind. And so we're kind of the same way, amen? So we have to be willing to allow God to change us if we're going to follow him. Yeah. Because this is what I've learned about God, is that God doesn't always do things the same way all the time. Now, he does things according to his word. He doesn't ever go against that. But sometimes the Spirit, my wife was teaching about that, how the prophet's ministry, it may look different. It may look weird. Sometimes Jesus making spit mud and rubbing it in people's eyes. And sometimes he's giving people Holy Ghost wet willy. And sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's just speaking the word. Amen. And sometimes he's not touching them at all. Or he's just saying, your faith, according to your faith, let it be unto you. You know, and so he followed the Lord. But we see with Jesus that the ministry flowed. And it went in different directions. And so we need to be willing to do that as well. Praise God. God moves on people so often, and they refuse to move with him. And then they go to God when they have trial, and they say, Lord, where are you? And a lot of times what's happened is God has already delivered what he was going to deliver. You know, sometimes through a message that's preached today, God will be delivering what you're going to need a month from now. Yeah, absolutely. Do you know that there's some things that there are some messages that like Pastor Nancy Dufresne preached, and I don't remember the whole message, but I remember one thing that was preached in the message. She preached it 2010? There was one, I think it was 9 years ago. And there's one thing that I remember from that message. I can't tell you exactly when the message was. I think it was a morning message. I can't remember what day it was on or anything like that. I don't even barely remember the time of year. But what I do remember is this, is something she said out of it was life-changing to me. And that thing I didn't fully get into, and maybe I still haven't fully got into it. But we have to understand that it's important to be part of, not just be where God is. Now, we can say you need to be in church and you be where God is, and there's truth to that. But when we say that, what we're really saying is that you need to be where God is moving and be part of what he's doing, amen? Because people can come and still not receive of those things. And so it doesn't matter that you just show up. I mean, if we show up, great, that's the first step. But there's a lot more to showing up. It's like, how do you show up, you know? Well, I've talked about this recently. You know, sometimes people show up and their mind's on everything other than, you know, what God is doing there right then. And God wants to move on people. And so often, you know, people miss out on that because of that. Now, I'm going to use an example here. And if you weren't part of these services, I'm not using it to bring, you understand, none of this message is about bringing you down. It's about bringing us all up and to understand some of those things. Amen. But like in the last minute, and I know how this goes because I've been a sheep too. Praise the Lord. Am a sheep. But in The Lord moved on me to have Dr. Bill Matthews in. Now, Dr. Bill Matthews stands in the office of a prophet. More than that, apostle, but prophetic as well. But one of the things that we, one of the things that I learned, especially through this, is how the Lord will do things in inconvenient times for us. It wasn't convenient. Wasn't convenient on us. Praise the Lord. Wasn't convenient on most of you. Wasn't convenient on the church. But God will do things when they're not convenient. And oftentimes to see if we'll move out in faith. Now, what I mean by not convenient, I mean both financially. I'll just be honest with you. The church, in the church finance, the church budget couldn't afford it. It was something we couldn't afford. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, I believe God will supply it through the hearts of people. I'm not saying that to stir your heart. I'm just saying that because I'm trying to relate this to our lives and how it works. You know what I mean? But we're going to see this as we get into the word here tonight on how the office of the pastor does things as examples for the people and how they move. Amen? And so God will move on us and have us do something. And he's doing that because he's delivering something to us. And so often our answers to the things that we're dealing with come in those moments. Now, I shared this. We had some special services up in Fredonia. And of course, when there's special services up there, we announce them. We'll even shut down our service to go up there. And we announce them in our church. And why do we do that? Because what God is doing through the family churches is important. And I understand there's different, you know, people have different things going on. But we have to have a heart to be flexible and to get where God is. Now, one of the things that Pastor Nancy called out that night was specific to somebody that somebody in our church is going through. That my wife and I, they're not here this evening, but something that somebody in our church is going through. Odd physical thing, a thing they need to be healed from. Yeah. Amen? And, you know, although we announced it, that person wasn't there. Yeah. And when she called that out, nobody responded to it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We believed in our hearts that that's what that was for, for that person. But that person went without what God was doing because they weren't there. Now listen, it isn't, so we understand, like, you know, with church, church things and church life, you know, we can get busy. We get that. We understand how it is. We're raised up in the ministry of helps. Heck, we're still in the ministry of helps. I mean, we do things in this church, praise the Lord. But not just this church, we do things in other churches as well. You know, and I serve my pastor. I'm about to serve him again here in a few weeks. And, there's things that we do. So we understand how it goes. And so none of this is to condemn you or to make you feel bad about it or anything like that. But just to bring up our understanding that when God is moving on us, we need to make sure that we're there and connected to it, because we will go without what God has. And so often what people are praying about, the answer is given, but they're not where God is delivering it. And they're not there, not because, the Spirit might not come and tell you, hey, you got to be in this service or you got to be here. But you have to understand that when we do things with purpose. We don't just have service to have service. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't just do it to have service. If we wanted to just have service to make money, we would have had Tuesday nights all summer long. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just telling the truth. You know, it's just, but we don't have services to make money. We don't have services just because we follow God and what we're going to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we understand that. So God moves on people. He moves on pastors to do things, to say things, to and we're going to see how pastors are used this way. We're going to see that tonight. And that's kind of how the office, that's what I was talking about and how it works. And we're going to understand that. This is why, you know, remember this. If you never remember anything I say, please remember some of it. But if you remember most of what I say, if you don't remember most of what I say, remember this. That the devil always attacks what God wants to use, what God wants to bless. If it's a connection, he's going to attack the connection.
Yeah.
How does he do that? Well, the number one way he does that in a church is he gets people offended at the pastor. Yeah. The number one reason people leave a church is because they're offended at the pastor. Yeah. They're mad, they're hurt, they're upset, they're angry, they're disappointed, they're whatever. The number one reason that people leave a church is because they are offended. The number one reason. I say that for your benefit. Why? Because offense will come. All you wonderful, blessed people that are sitting here tonight, you know, praise the Lord for you all. I love you all, and I know you love me. Praise God. But if not once, but many times throughout the time that you are connected to me as your pastor, the devil will come with offense and try to get you mad at me. He will try to get you upset with me. He will try to get you disconnected with me. In fact, we've seen this. That God, the devil will convince people even of things like this. Now, I'm going to say this, and you have to understand where I'm coming from. But my wife and I pastor this church together. But I am the senior pastor of this church. One of the things the devil will do is he will try to get people convinced that they have to go through her and not me if they want counseling or want an answer to something. That's just a lie from the devil. Why? Because your pastor is the number one connection, praise the Lord, above and beyond your natural connection is what I'm saying. That's what God has given us to connect with him, amen, in a greater level. Now, I'm not saying it's the only way, but it is a major way. And so the devil will try to convince people that they don't need that. Maybe sometimes it's we had an example of this. Not somebody who came to the church very long, but somebody who came in and they didn't want to talk to me because I'm a guy. Well, that was the reason they gave. They wanted to talk to her because she's a woman. We can relate. But see, it wasn't about women things. No, it wasn't. Actually, what it turned out to be is this person was having serious issues with father issues kind of thing, and just kind of projected it on all men. And I'm not saying this because we wanted to hurt that person or I want to hurt that person, you know, none of that, but I'm saying it to show you, give you examples. The devil will always come to rob those things. What does he rob? He gets people offended. He gets people tired. He gets people overburdened. He gets people busy. All these things to take their eyes off of what God has for them. Amen? But we have to be people that grow above that. And we have to realize that no matter what we got going on around, what we got going on in our lives, that if we always turn our focus back to the Lord, if we always put our focus back in where he's connected us and how he's connected us and what he wants to do, no matter how busy we are, no matter what we've got going on, if we do that, that God will always be able to bring us through. You may think that working extra hours is your answer when God says being in church is your answer. You may think that, your answer to happiness is out running around doing all this stuff, and God will make, God has made church your answer. He's made, that connection.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And so we understand these things. So it's just, just understand, don't be in condemnation. If any of these things deal with something that you're dealing with, understand that God will bring conviction in the sense of your heart. You'll be like, you know what? Yeah, I recognize that. Yeah, I've been off in that area. It is not to bring you down. It's to say, hey, wait a minute. This is a spotlight. This is what needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. When you go to the doctor and he says, you got something here that doesn't look right. You don't start cussing the doctor out because he's an idiot. You're happy that he pointed it out so you can get it fixed, right? Praise the Lord. And so that's the same way. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So can God intercept your day? And what part of what I mean by that is in your thought life, in your heart, is God at all in your day? What God wants to do? And see, because our direction, and again, in the interception, the idea of the interception, perception is that we are doing something. We are on, you know, maybe we're working a double shift, and all of a sudden the Lord moves on you, and I want to talk to you now. Can you take the time and refuse the double shift? You know, can you step away? Can you say, hey, wait a minute, I gotta focus on God things right now. You know, we should be, when something, we have to understand that when, like these meetings that are coming up, and this message is not just to promote these meetings, believe me, but these meetings that are coming up, these are important for our lives and what God is doing. And so things will come out and things will be saturated. Some things will be imparted into us that we won't even know. But later on, the fruit will bear witness. Now, how do I say that? And I'm going to get into the word, I promise. Praise the Lord. But how do I understand that? Because I never had hands laid on me to have depression leave me. Never did. I never, to get over my depression, to get off medication, to get from stop being to the, what did I do? I sat under the word and sat under the word. And there was impartations all these times. And I didn't even recognize it. Didn't even know what was going on. Sometimes I even thought, do I even need to be here? But I'm telling you that those impartations came in and changed my life. Something else I will also tell you that I've noticed in people that miss extended periods of time of church is that they get to the place where all of a sudden, they don't even know what's right or wrong anymore. They can't even put their finger on it. They just, the further and further they get away from it, it's like they're just lost. And the answer is so simple. They've been taught it before. But because they've stepped away from that covering, that anointing, that corporate thing that God is doing, they've broken that connection. And for whatever reason, I mean, it could be a lot of reasons it happens. Again, this isn't to bring us down. It's to bring us up to understand why. And even if, you know, maybe you sit in those seats every time the door is open. Praise the Lord for you. But how you sit there matters. You can sit there and not be connected at all. We need to be connected. And what do I mean by connected? I'm expecting God to move. I expect God to do good things in my life. Amen? Praise the Lord. We'll get in the Word, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Hallelujah. Can God intercept your day? Praise the Lord. Do you know one of the great things about Jesus is that the Lord could intercept his day? You know what an interception is, right? Here's the football illustration for the evening. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The ball is thrown, and somebody that it wasn't thrown to, praise God, reaches out and grabs the ball, and now the ball changes hands, right? Did I say that right? My brother Scott, did I say that? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Close enough. So now it's changed hands. It's going in a different direction, right? Praise the Lord. It was taken from the one who thought they were going in one direction. Amen. And it's the same thing with God. Sometimes we're going in a direction because that's what seemed right to do. Maybe it's what we do every morning. But all of a sudden, God wants to change that direction. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Everybody say, being transformed. Being transformed. Praise the Lord. Into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And what I want to focus on here is the idea of being transformed. That's an action thing. Yeah. It means it's a continual thing. We are being transformed. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you have never been transformed in church, praise the Lord, you're about to start getting transformed. Amen? Amen? See, that's what it is. You just start getting transformed, you're being transformed. Oh, I don't know if I can do this. I haven't been a Christian very long. Yes, you can, because God has called you to it, and you can do it. We just watched Dr. Summerall, his testimony. Praise God, it blessed us. God saved him from the deathbed. Literally, he was 17 years old, didn't want anything to do with God. God showed him a casket, and he showed him a Bible, and he said, you can preach the word, or you can die and go to hell. That's basically what his option was. Well, praise God, hallelujah. He didn't want to go to heaven. He wanted to think about it, or he didn't want to preach the word. But God told me, he knew nothing about preaching the word. 17 years old, he goes out, starts preaching. He didn't know what to do. God just changed his day. Amen. I said, God just changed his day. Changed his whole life. Amen. Changed his own direction. He didn't know anything about it. But he just went. Amen. And that's what matters. We have to move with what the Spirit is doing. being transformed. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So we understand from one level of glory to another level of glory. In other words, one level of bright shiningness to another level of bright shiningness. Amen. So we're going higher and higher. Amen. You know, I saw it like this, that being transformed is kind of like a download. Amen. We're being transformed day by day as we hear the word. You know, faith comes by hearing the word. Amen. So in other words, we have to be hearers of the word often in order to be hearing the word. And that's how we're also being transformed, is by hearing the word. Amen. And so I saw it like a download. Amen. When you got if you got an iPhone, I don't know if they do this on the other ones, but I know they do it on iPhone. I'm back in that business. I don't know if you knew that, but I was off it for a little while. I got led astray for a little while, but I saw the light and I came back. I repented. I came back. But I got an iPhone, and one of the things that I love about iPhones is they have this thing called updates. Now, we don't always like to do the updates, but why do we do the updates? Because the updates make the phone better. It make it work better, amen? It makes it work, you know, and sometimes the update is so good that they'll send you a little thing when you click on your notes now. It'll have all this other stuff. You can't just get in your notes. You have to say, look what's new, because they added new things to it. And won't you know that every time they add new things to it, it's better than it was before? Amen? Praise the Lord. Sometimes I go from using one thing and I skip off of it thinking there's going to be something better, and all of a sudden they'll do an update and it's better. Amen. Are you not an iPhone user? Oh, you are. Praise the Lord. You were smiling almost like you were. It was almost a guilty smile. I just wanted to make sure. Praise the Lord. Now we're not, it's not commercial for iPhones. Most of that's a joke, but you understand the point. Praise the Lord. But we get the download because it makes it better. You know, you upgrade it. Praise the Lord. And so we understand that. But what happens, have you ever done this? Have you ever canceled the download partway through? Because you didn't want to wait for it. Maybe you were impatient. You didn't want to be part of it. You didn't want to deal with it. Right? You didn't want to be bothered with it. Well, what happens? You know, sometimes it's funny because I'm quick. When I see it, as soon as I see it, I'm like, boom, I want to download it. I want to download because I want whatever's new and better. Yeah. My wife doesn't like to be bothered by it all the time. And so sometimes she'll be like, this, da, 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 you know, about the phone. And I say, did you do the download? And she's like, no, I didn't do the, it was like, you got to download. Well, this hasn't happened recently, but you understand, you got to do the, yeah, she set it up to automatic now so it does it while she sleeps and all that stuff. That was probably in one of the downloads, amen, the automatic thing. But we understand, we want the downloads, amen? That's what being transformed is. It's being updated. It's like, okay, this is you. This is what you were. See, some Christians come into the church and they never get updated. They never get the download. They never receive the download and they never get changed. They're not being transformed. They're just being. They're being lumps on the log, as I had a teacher that used to say, out there in the peanut gallery, like a lump on the log, sucking up usable air. Praise the Lord. That's what they're doing. They're not being transformed. They're not receiving the download. Amen. We want to receive the downloads. Amen. Did you update? Hallelujah. Maybe we need t-shirts that say that. Did you update? Glory to God. Oh, we could start a whole t-shirt business here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Did you update? And so now we're going to see this. We're going to see how the pastoral office comes into this. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, verse 2. We're going to read through verse 4. Now, this is interesting. So I want you to keep in mind through this message, this was Peter that wrote this. And look at the instruction he gives. Now, this instruction he's given to the elders of the church. So the ones who, technically, I'm an elder in the church, right? That's what I do. Praise the Lord. So this is what he's given this to, basically pastors. He says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, what do we understand about the word when it tells us the chief shepherd? Well, you're not a chief unless you're a chief over something. You know, if you got a do we have chiefs in football? I mean, I know there's a sport, but like the or a team. But do we have chiefs on the team? Like captains, we have captains on the team. Okay, a captain would be like a chief, right? Right? Like if you're the only person on the football team, you're not a captain.
Right.
You're the only one on the team.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what you are. You're not going to do very good. A captain has to be a captain over. So it's kind of like a pastor. A pastor isn't a pastor unless he's got sheep. Because a pastor can't pastor unless he's got sheep. Because a shepherd without sheep is, I don't know what he is. He's a lonely guy, I guess. He's sheepless. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise, that was my wife's, hallelujah. But we understand that. So the chief shepherd means that there's shepherds underneath him. And of course, we understand that. The Lord tells us, you know, I think it's in Jeremiah, he tells us that I'll give you, God said to, he promised Israel, I'll give you shepherds after my own heart. We know that word shepherd or the word pastor means shepherd. It's the same thing, amen? And they're the ones that take, tend to the flock. They take care of the flock. They oversee the flock, whatever flock they're giving, amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So they're watching over the flock. That's what they're doing. God, we understand this, that one of the gifts that God left us was the gift of the shepherd. Amen. And he left us that for purpose to shepherd the flock. Amen. So it's important here we understand this. And when we see this, Peter's instruction to these shepherds was shepherd the flock. In other words, watch out for the flock. Tend to the flock. Feed the flock. Watch out. Make sure that there's no wolves that come in. Make sure that if one gets astray, they you do everything to get it back. Amen? To watch out for their lives. But it says here, not by compulsion. In other words, you're not like, oh, I got to do this again. You know what I mean? Not for dishonest gain. Praise the Lord, not as being lords over those entrusted to you. This is why I don't really show up, my wife doesn't really show up at your house if you don't show up, because it's not our job to. Amen? Now, we reach out to people once in a while. There's people that have left us and that we reached out to them. There was one I reached out to in recent times, praise the Lord. Reached out to this person. They will like every picture on Facebook from this church. They will like every picture on Instagram from this church. But they will not respond to a text message, praise, or a call from their pastor. Praise God, hallelujah. What is that? I don't know why they're off. I don't know why they're gone. I don't love it, but they're off. I can't go force them to come in, amen? And so I'm not lording over their lives. They know the word. They've been taught the word, but they chose to walk away from it, amen? So it's not up to me to go make them do what they should. I wanted to bring these scriptures out because I wanted you to see that there was a chief shepherd, but there's also like under shepherds, and that's where I would be in the classification of. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it says here, where does it say it? It says, nor being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock, amen? Now that word in the Amplified, I love it. It says, instead of just examples there, it says pattern. Be a pattern. What do we know about a pattern? If you want to reproduce something, you make it a pattern of the original, amen? You know, that, and really all we all are is a pattern of Christ. Well, that's what we're endeavoring to be, amen? But my job is to be a continual pattern in your life. In other words, the things that God's walking me through will be things for your life. And so when you see, you know, when you see me walking into anointings or whatever, you can see what the flow that God is doing. In other words, like this, I realized this even recently, that God has been dealing with me so much about trusting him. Why is he dealing with me about that? Because he wants me to deal with you about that. Amen. Why does God not just tell you? I don't know. This is the way he decided to do it. I imagine it's because he doesn't like his children scattered off by themselves. If he just told you you could go out in the woods, live by yourself, never interact with anybody, and you'd be fine. Some people wouldn't like that. Some people would love that. I would like that half the time, and half the time I would hate that. because I'm just kind of, you know, I'm kind of torn like that. You know what I mean? Sometimes I want to be left alone, and sometimes I got to be around people, you know? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we understand that, you know, we understand that God wants us together. His desire is that we come together and that we be part of something, not that we just, and this is also why I would imagine, or at least part of why, that he didn't put all the gifts on one person. You know, I can't do the job of an apostle or a prophet unless he called me into that, because I'm not called to that. Amen. I'm called to be a pastor. And so that's the job. Now there can be, you know, a little bits here and there, but really when you want to, when you're getting into one thing, there's a focus. Amen. On it seems to be anyways. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we understand that it's to be a pattern. Now I want us to flip over the 23rd Psalm. No, actually I don't want us to flip there, but I want us to think about it because we all know it. Praise the Lord. I'll just read it to you here off. I'm not going to even flip to it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is the chief shepherd. Yeah. Praise God. So we can understand by this, we can understand by the word that's being taught here tonight, that because our job is to do what? He said that I will give you shepherds after my own heart. Yeah. In other words, he's going to give us pastors that have God's heart. And so what God's heart is, and we see this is God's heart here, this is the same thing, because the chief shepherd is going, or the under shepherds are going to try to imitate and do what the chief shepherd is directing them to do. Amen? And so we can understand the role of pastor here because the chief shepherd, under shepherds. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not have lack in my life. Now, how does God do that? He does it by giving us a local church. Yeah. Amen? When we have a pastor, what the pastor is going to do is the pastor, how do I minister to people? Primarily, how do I minister to people? I come up to you all and I pay your mortgage payment for you. Some of you would say, I'd like that, Pastor Jeff. Do that. No, that's not my job. Some people, you know, my job is not even to heal everybody. My job is not to go around and make sure that you're doing everything according to the word. My job is not to make sure that you're living your life right, that you're paying your bills on time. I don't call you up, hey, did you pay your phone bill this month? Right. Praise the Lord. Him I might, just because he's my son, but I don't even do it with him anymore, to tell you the truth. It's not my job. My job is not to lord over people's lives. Praise the Lord. But what is my job? My job is to teach the word. Yeah. What is the purpose of the teaching of the word? The teaching of the word is to get you to know how God works, amen? And so that anointing comes in, and the word gets taught, and when it comes into this place, and the anointing is here tonight, praise the Lord, because I'm preaching, hallelujah, I'm able to, glory to God. So we can, if you see me talking, and I'm talking without much stuttering, and just flowing like this, that's the anointing, amen? That means that something is here, because I can't do it on my own. I promise you I can't. Now, you may not believe me. You say, Pastor Jeff, you just sound so awesome all the time. I just love listening to you. You do such a good job, Pastor Jeff. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. I'm just joking. That's just a joke. But we understand that God's anointing is here to give us things, to help us. Now, sometimes just the word that's being preached will break things off your life. Sometimes just what you need, just what you hear, because it's building faith in you. And when the faith is built in you, then you're able, then you are become able to overcome it. Amen. In fact, I understand this about the healing. You know, Jesus went around laying hands on people for healing, but most of the people that he was laying hands on weren't the believers. They weren't the people in the churches and the synagogues. He was going out laying hands on people in the street. The ones that were the believers were supposed to obtain it by their faith. Praise the Lord. Now, every once in a while, we need a little shot to help us. Amen. That's why we bring a prophet in. That's why we bring prophets into the church. Why? Because that's part of the ministry offices. The things that we need, what do? They give us a shot in the arm. Yeah. The job of a prophet is to root up and to pull down. Yeah. Sometimes they will get in there and they will find things in the church that need to be torn out and thrown out, yeah. Praise the Lord, and destroyed. Maybe it's a spirit. Maybe it's something that's dogging, but that's their job, amen? And that's what one of the things they come in to do. But so we understand this, that the pastor is to walk with us essentially daily in our daily lives, amen? I don't call you every day saying, hey, are you fixing this in your life? Are you getting this going? But the word that's preached, amen, is meant to do that, to take you for this time. And so if we would approach, you know, a lot of people come to us, I don't even know how to study the word. I'll tell you how to study the word. Take the scriptures you get every week, because the ones that I preached on are for you. Yeah. How do I know that? Because you're sitting in these seats every week. If you're called here, then what I'm preaching is for you. Like I said, it may not be today. It may be a month from now, but it's for you. And when you allow those things to be in you, when you start connecting to it that way and you start realizing, wait a minute, he's not just standing up there yapping. He's up there preaching my help, glory to God, and the things that I need. Hallelujah. So even this week, my wife wasn't dealing with your life specifically in the sense that she was saying, well, if you're dealing with this, this is how you fix it. If you got a financial problem. But she was in the sense that she was telling you how to receive from the ministry offices. Because now you can come excited and ready to receive. And as you pull on that gift by the Spirit, how do you pull on the Spirit? You come in hungry. You come in expecting. You come in with faith saying, Lord, I know I'm here because I know you're doing something. Amen. Then you get to receive from that. Amen. And see, that's how it works. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we see, go on. We know he leads us by green pastures and still into green pastures and still waters. What is that stable? God has put pastors in our lives to keep us stable, to get us stable, to put us in the path of stable. Amen. But listen, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And if you don't drink, then you're just a sheep. Actually, you become a goat. Yeah, there's a difference between sheep and goats. I want sheep. Yeah, see, someone who knows, knows. Amen. There is a reason that the Bible says, calls us sheep and talks about goats. Amen. Sheep and goats. We got to understand that. We don't want to be a goat. What's that? Oh, Caleb. Caleb does a great goat noise. Praise the Lord. We're not going to do it right now because it might ruin the anointing. I don't know. So we understand that. So we understand the 23rd Psalm, but that's really what that Psalm is pointing us to, is the understanding, because we know that was written in the Old Testament, but we know by the New Testament that God gave us the ministry office. Again, I try not to talk about it as the pastor, like as me, Jeff, but you know, it's the gift, the office that's on my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want to reflect to this 2 Timothy 3:16. I don't want to turn there because I want to turn to some other scriptures here in a minute, but just write it down. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Yeah. Where does instruction come from? From the mouth of a preacher. And so, in other words, it's when the preacher is preaching the word, teaching the word, that's instruction to you, okay? So we understand that, right? Yeah, right. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews 3, 7. Glory to God. So the minister's job is to minister the word. And as the word is ministered, that's how it changes our lives, because it instructs us in what to do. Amen? Praise God. Hebrews 13:7. Hallelujah. Okay. Starts off here, and don't get tripped off over this, it says, remember those who rule over you. Now, what it means, the word rule, it means to lead or to go before, okay? That's what it means. So when you see that, when it says, remember those, 13:7, did I say that? Yeah. Remember those who rule over you, okay? So remember those who lead you, right? Yeah. Or to go before you. That's what a shepherd does, right? They have the crook, and they go before, and they take the sheep into the green pastures, into the still waters. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. Okay? Instruction in righteousness. Amen. Whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So you have to consider the things that happen in my life. it matters what, that's why it matters that you understand, you know, we don't, if we ever preach about something that God is doing in our lives, it's not to say, hey, look at us, look how awesome we are, how much God loves us and not you. No, it's to show you we're being examples. We're saying, look, this is what faith does. Faith goes after these things. See, one of the examples of what I was talking about earlier, when I had Dr. Matthews come in, I knew by faith that it was what I had to do. I knew by the Spirit it was what I had to do. Even though everything in the outward appearance told me don't do it. Everything in the finances, everything in the flesh, everything in the lives of the people. You know, the people have been working. All these things are going on. We're having these meetings come up. All the things that are happening are telling me in the natural, don't do it. But faith tells me, the Spirit says, this is needed for the church. Now, the outcome of that, we are well aware of. We know the goodness that came out of that being here. Amen. There are things that I can't even go into right now that are down the road yet to be, but because he was here, they will come to pass because he was here, because God sent him. But the Lord directed me to have him, and if I did not follow that faith, if I did not follow that surety, even when it was everything in me told me it wasn't, you know, wasn't the right time, praise the Lord, I followed God, and the payout happened. Considering the outcome of their conduct. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then I love this. We always quote this next scripture, but look what it was just tied to. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wow. He's tied that to the pastor's office, to following the pastor, to listen to what the pastor's saying. Amen? That's awesome. Isn't it amazing? What is one of the things that has attacked so much in popular Christianity? It's the idea of having somebody rule over you. So much so that if you even say it in a lot of churches, oh, people just get mad. They won't even hear anything else you say. Praise God. They won't even hear what else you say because they're already offended. Do you know that's the number one thing that offense, is one of the top things that offense will do is it'll keep you from hearing the word. We had an example. We've had examples of that in our church. I can't tell you how many times where somebody is so offended that everything we preach, they reject, even though it's coming right out of the Bible and everything that's coming out of the word. But Jesus went through the same thing. The same thing happened. And so we understand the devil has no new tactics, but Christians are stupid enough to fall for the same ones. Amen. Don't allow offense to rob from you. Amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. And he was talking, you know, I'm not going to get into that right now because I want to focus on this part. It's good that the heart be established by grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to share a few scriptures with you, or at least one scripture here with you. I'm only going to share the one scripture. I'm just going to share it with you here. Ephesians 4:7. Praise God. What does Ephesians 4:7 say? We preach on this a lot. My wife was there this weekend. Amen. But to each one of us, grace was given, hallelujah, according to the measure of Christ's gift. But to each one of us. So it says, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. And Ephesians 4:7 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And now the following verses after that go on to explain the ministry offices. He says the gift, and he goes on to explain what the gift is. The gift of grace, or the ability of God, is literally in the ministry offices. So those ministry offices, of course, you're more acquainted with the pastor than any, because that's who you see all the time. But the ministry offices are constantly, you know, they're putting out what the Lord is doing, and that's his ability. That's how he gets his ability in you, which is really faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, like I said, you're most accustomed. Actually, you're probably, without really realizing it, most accustomed to two offices specifically in this church, and that's that of the pastor and that's that of a teacher. My wife is a teacher, and when she ministers, most often that's the place. Even if you can't separate them, that's what's going on. Amen? And so you might say, I don't understand the difference. That's fine. You don't have to right now because we do. And so because we do, that's why we bring them in. Amen? Or the different ones. And sometimes there's things that need to be taught. And I say, well, honey, this needs to be taught. And she'll go and teach it. Why? Because that's the office that she stands in. That's a separate office than that of a pastor. Although she acts as pastor as well, you understand. But praise the Lord. But with the other ministry offices, they have to be brought into the church because we don't always have them in the church. We don't always have prophets in every church. Praise the Lord. But we do have one, at least one in the family churches. Amen. There's an apostle in the family church. You don't have an apostle in every church. But there's at least one in the family churches. Praise the Lord. And so we understand that when those gifts come in and we draw on those, we get something that we can't get otherwise. Amen. And so that's part of the grace, the measure of, that's the grace that he was telling us there in Hebrews, that Paul was telling us in Hebrews, to be established in. Be established by grace, by the ability, not with these, you know, not with the works of the law and stuff like that. You understand? Now, before I skip ahead, I want to do this. I want to bring up Hebrews 13. It's in my phone. I got my phone right in front of me. Hebrews 13:7. I want to read that to you in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. Let's see, just change it over here. Amplified. It says, remember your leaders and superiors in authority, for it was they who brought to you the word of God. Notice that it was the ministers that brought to you the word of God. What is the word of God? It's the thing that proceeds from God's mouth. Now, not everybody, every time I stand in the pulpit, I'm saying, thus saith the Lord. In fact, very few people should actually say that, because you have to hear the audible voice of God to even be like remotely justified in saying that. But as I preach to you, as I preach to you from the word, I am preaching to you the word of the Lord, from the mouth of God. How can we be assured and established in it? Because it's written down. He wrote it down for us so that when I do preach it, we can say, okay, yes, you know, some religions even say, what do they say? This is the word of the Lord or something like that. You know, I think the Catholics do or something like that. Oh, that they would actually understand what they're saying. You know, when the word of God is preached, what was it? I don't actually think that's just a goofy, kooky ritual. I think there's something to that. I'm not saying we're going to start doing it, but I think there's something important in that a lot of sometimes the what we call the Protestant denominations kind of lose sight of. And that's that there was a certain, the reason that was that people would do that is they were reverencing the fact that that was the word of the Lord. See, this is what we have to understand, that when the word is being preached, when we're getting this, that it's not just some man's opinion, that this is the word of the Lord. And so as it's being preached, as the Spirit moves on us to preach the word is intended to do something in your lives. But it will not just do something just by being around you. There are a lot of people that sit under the word of the Lord and never have anything change. And the reason they never have anything change is because of what they won't do. They either connect to it or they won't connect to it. You will either connect to it or won't connect to it. Sometimes you'll connect to one message but not another. Yeah. There's people that sometimes, you know, they don't mind preaching about Jesus and salvation and all this stuff. But man, don't you get on that tongues business. Don't you start preaching about that. Oh, I don't want to go to service because laying on of hands. It's in the Bible. We can't reject what God is doing. Praise the Lord. When we see it according to Scripture. And so that's what's most important, is to follow the Scripture. Amen. And most importantly, the Scripture that was delivered to the apostles, because that's what we're left with. Amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. So, we'll go back to the notes. Okay. So, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, and it goes on to explain the gifts of the five, what we call the fivefold ministry office, that of the apostle, the evangelist, the prophet, the pastor, and the teacher. Amen? I said those out of order of what it's listed, but you understand that those are the different offices. And you know, we go at different times, we may go into different understandings of it. Listen, we can't preach the whole Bible in 1 year. Amen. We can't preach the whole Bible in 5 years. Amen. And what we deal with is, I deal with feeding the sheep. And that's another reason. Why does it, Pastor, why don't you ever go on to this or go on to that? Because it's not sheep food. You need food to live by. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. You love, like, listen, a chocolate cake will bless just about anybody who likes chocolate cake. But you can't live on it. Amen. It's good for you, your happiness. Amen. God gave us chocolate for happiness. He invented chocolate, not us. Just because we learned how to process it, praise the Lord. And I'm sure an angel told somebody how to do that. Maybe it was Mr. Hershey. I don't know. Praise the Lord. So you remember what Peter was saying. I told you, remember what Peter was saying way back there, way ahead in 2 Peter, right? Or 1 Peter, he said to shepherd the flock. Amen. Now let's go to John 21. So see, when we make this connection, thank you, Lord, for that. When we make this connection, that what's happening here is more than just a thing people do. You know, I actually, as I've been studying things, you know, I told you I like to research things, I like to know things, I like to see how other people tick, I like to see how other denominations do it. One of the things that I've learned is that it's very easy out there in the denominational world, we'll say, it's very easy to just decide that you want to, hey, I think I want a pastor. And so I'm going to go out and I'm going to go to some seminary and I'm going to go and I'm going to learn, theology. What's that? Yeah, pastoring 101. In fact, when we bought the Corey Church, you want to hear this? You know, it was a former church building. One of the things that they had was a book on church growth. It was a step-by-step program on how to build a church planting. A step-by-step program. Whatever happened to following the Lord? It even said how to determine the town. That's man's ideas. And see, this is why a lot of people have a hard time receiving even some of the things I'm saying tonight, because we're all so accustomed out there in the world, we're so accustomed to just someone deciding, hey, I want to be a pastor today, so I'm going to go out and be a pastor. They never learn faith. They never learn how to live right. They never learn how to do things. And they go out and they lead a bunch of people on how not to live right and on how not to do things. You have pastors saying things that are so out of faith. And the reason they're saying them out of faith is because they have no faith themselves. Well, how are their sheep supposed to follow the faith of a man of God if he's not really a man of God? Now, you understand what I mean. I mean, a man that God's using, amen? Just because someone determines that they want to be a minister doesn't mean that they're anointed to do so. Praise the Lord. That's why I love the way the family churches are raised up. We don't just raise up people, send them out, and say, there you go. We don't just say, oh, here's somebody who will do it, so we're going to send them out. No, there's rigorous testing. What do I mean by rigorous testing? Well, there's the toilet ministry. There's things like that. There's serving other people. Praise God. I am so thankful that I was raised up. And that's not the easiest thing to do. But I served another person sometimes until I couldn't stand it anymore. Because some of the things are just come in serving. I'm not saying as a slight against my pastor or anything like that. I'm just saying that there's things in serving that aren't always fun. But those things are what built things in me to be able to do them. Amen. Praise the Lord. To learn endurance, to learn how to stay. And one of the things that Dr. Matthew said, praise the Lord, one of the things he said is that there was somebody who called out in prayer to plant the Corey Church a long time ago. Praise the Lord. And he said some came and some answered the call, but they became discouraged and they gave up. They quit. Why? Because there was never any kind of, there was no longevity put into them. These are people that were just raised. That's exactly what happened in the church that was there. And we had this knowledge because we were told it from, praise the Lord, we just got the knowledge. We'll just say that. Praise the Lord. We were out seeking it, but it came to us. Praise the Lord. And so this knowledge came to us. And one of the things that we found out is that a pastor would come in and be there for a certain amount of time and then would go decide that we didn't want to be there anymore, go somewhere else. And then another pastor would come in and they'd send somebody else and send somebody else and send somebody else. And pretty soon, the congregation had dwindled down to nothing. Why? Because they had no shepherd. They were scattered and faint. They had one guy come in because it was convenient for the time. But hey, when something better came up, I just knew of a pastor that did that not too long ago. They didn't like the area that they were in. They didn't prefer it because it wasn't easy going. So they got on their denomination's job finder or whatever it was, and they found a church in another town that's got full of people, and they go down there, and now they're pastoring just completely happy. What is that? That's people just doing things man's way. Listen, God isn't in that. Somebody else built it, and you just come in and move in and decide because you can say a few words in the pulpit. Listen, you don't need somebody who can speak good. You need somebody who'll speak the word. You don't need somebody who can articulate things. You need somebody who's anointed. Praise the Lord. Because some of the greatest men and women of God were not anointed or were not articulate. They were anointed. Praise the Lord. In fact, a lot of times you look at them. We watch some old videos every once in a while, and you look at them. You think, man, that's kind of goofy. Man, that's kind of weird. But you know. You know what? People got healed. People got set free. Why? Because it didn't matter what they were naturally gifted in. All that mattered was that they were anointed and called and that they followed the call. And that's the thing that a lot of these places aren't teaching. They're not teaching people how to be called or what the call is like. They're just saying, hey, if you got a whim, you can come do it. And then when it gets hard, they give up. Why did they give up? Because it was never in them in the first place. When it's in you, it's in you. You can't do anything else. I couldn't do anything other than pastor because that's what the call of my life is. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Believe me, I tried. Yeah. I've tried. Oh, yeah, I've tried. I don't want to do that. The last thing I want to do is stand up here and talk to a bunch of people. The last thing I want to do is deal with people's stuff. The last thing I want to do is have people hate me. Sure. But praise the Lord. I didn't sign up for it. But I went for it because it was the call of God. Praise the Lord. These things will follow all those people that do those things. Jesus said, if they abused me, they'll abuse you. So many words. Amen. Praise the Lord. I didn't pick it, but I love it. I enjoy it. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying I've had moments. You know, we all have moments. Praise God. Even Moses had a moment. Moses said, either deliver me from these people or kill me, one of the two. He said that. Yeah. He said, God, these people you've given me, you either do something for them or kill me. That's because I can't do it anymore. Yeah, sometimes frustration gets like that. Because what? We have the glorious job of leading people. Amen. The glorious job of leading people that don't always want to be led. Oh, believe me. Listen, when somebody looks at you cross-eyed because you preach the word, listen, I'm just trying to help you. Yeah. There is nothing I preach that I'm trying to hurt you. I am not trying to remove from your life. But when you get mad at me because I preach something out of the word and I can see it, and then you just don't talk to me or you avoid me for a while or you leave me, praise the Lord. That's not my plan. That's not what I want. I want to tell you things you like. Yeah. Amen. I was a lot better at lying when I wasn't a pastor. Yeah, absolutely. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, you're doing great. You're doing great. I wasn't pointing at him. I was pointing at you. But you know what I mean? I really wasn't pointing at him. I was making sure that I wasn't pointing at him. But, don't you do that? You look at, you remember we used to have this saying, I can say it. This is a Tuesday night. We used to have this saying, praise the Lord. We used to have this saying, sucks to be you kind of thing, That was kind of my attitude of life, Sucks to be you, man. Sorry, Charlie, but, praise God. Did you find John 21? But now we love on people. And do so with joy. Amen. I love my church, amen? I do. I love my churches. But to me, they kind of blend together, I mean, there's different people in different towns and different things, but, it's still the call of God. So, John 21:15. So look at what Jesus' instruction to Peter was, right? When he restored Peter, amen. Glory to God. This is after he died, went to hell, went to heaven, comes back. Restoring Peter. Peter denied him. Remember that? Yeah. So when they had eaten breakfast, he ate breakfast with them. Thank God there's breakfast in heaven. How do we know there's breakfast in heaven? Well, Jesus ate it after he'd been to heaven, so praise the Lord. Amen. And he went back to heaven afterwards. And we all know how good breakfast is. And so if you've been to heaven, you come back and you have breakfast and you still go back to heaven, that means there must be breakfast in heaven. You just got to put these things together. See, that's all. Praise the Lord. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Remember, because Peter was boasting about that, right? "I'll follow you anywhere." And that's when Jesus told you, "Hey, you know, you'll deny me three times." Right? Praise the Lord. He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, feed my lambs," which are sheep, right? The baby sheep. He said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." I love that it uses the word tend there. Because that word tend, actually, if you look it up in the Greek, is the same word that Peter used when he said shepherd the flock. It's the same exact word. Amen? And so he's instructing Peter, tend my sheep, to take care of them, watch over them. You know, lead them into what I have for them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, to the blessing. And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." What did he want him to do? He wanted him to feed the sheep, take care of the sheep, make sure that they had the nourishment that they need. The nourishment that they need was not bread and water. The nourishment they need is the word. And so to preach the word of the Lord, to preach the word to them, praise the Lord, and to establish them. You remember we're told that in the 12th verse of Ephesians 4, we're told that it's the ministry offices are to establish us. Amen? To make us grounded, to give us something. And so we have to understand that the things that are happening, we have to be willing for God to intercept us. Yeah. We have to be willing that, you know what, maybe something different will be preached today, maybe something in a different way, maybe not the way we've heard it before, or maybe not the way we've always believed it. But we're willing to go with it. Yeah. There are people that reject us over certain religious dogmas. They reject what we say about it because they want to hold on. I have had them do it. I bring it up all the time. One of the greatest of these is the Lord's Prayer. I am not against the Lord's Prayer. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's bad. But what I'm saying is that it's not to be used the way that people use it. It wasn't meant to be used that way. I am not telling you people that because I want to upset their apple cart. I'm telling them that because I want them to know the truth, to know how to effectively pray. Because what we have is a bunch of Christians that don't know how to pray. They sit down and they say their Hail Marys or they say the Lord's Prayer and they never accomplish anything because they're just kind of throwing something out there with no faith behind it. Amen? They don't believe it anyways. Amen? I said they don't believe it anyways. Our job is to lead and to show you folks how to live by faith and how to receive from God. And that's what the primary thing that we're doing. And so understand this, that the ministry, we don't just do things to do them. We don't just do things because we want to have church or because we want to play church. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, if playing church is what I had to do, I probably wouldn't be here anymore because I just couldn't do it. Yeah. I can't play church. In fact, I go to the Lord. I mean, I consecrate myself. I try to consecrate myself daily before the Lord and say, "God, I don't want to fake this. I don't want to do this wrong. I don't want to help me to do this right. I want to be just what God wants me to be. I want to fully fulfill the call He has, not the ideas that I have. Because the ideas I have never get me anywhere. The ideas that you have will never get you anywhere. But when you follow God, you'll find that blessedness. You'll find that peace. You'll find that grace to do all things. When you determine, I'm going to be established by the word. And so when you understand that when you sit in these seats, you're not just receiving something that's just my ideas for the afternoon. I'm not saying I never throw my opinion in. Sure, my opinion's in there on things. There's times when it is, but it's very clear when that is. And also, if I, you know, sometimes the opinion will be based in the word. I mean, you can kind of take it from there. But I will tell you this, that there's a lot of things in there that will bless you and that will help you. Most of your life will be altered, if you allow it to be, will altered and changed for the better through the ministry that comes through the pulpit of the church that you're connected to. And not because I'm anything, because I certainly am not, but it's because God is. Yeah. And that's something that I'm just going to be honest with you. I've had to recognize even more in myself, because there's been a lot of times where I'm just like, I had been dealing with just constantly feeling worthless. Like, God, I'm a terrible pastor. Why do you use me? Why do you have me there? And the Lord had to get me over that. Because I had to realize, listen, he has equipped me. It is not about what I can or can't do. None of that matters. All that matters is that I do. When I follow God, then it's effective. When you follow God, it's effective. And so we have to get to that place where we grow up beyond our feelings on those things and just decide, you know what? I'm going to do just what God has called me to do. And when we do that, we'll be blessed. Amen? Yeah.